All listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville. We
love it. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, May 1st, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be May Day almost everywhere in the world. Solidarity to the workers of the world out there. Hope you're celebrating and protesting and fighting for your rights. That's what we're doing right here at the Russ Belville Show. We're fighting for the rights of cannabis consumers all across this world, whether it's recreational, medical, spiritual, industrial. It's just a plant. Let's legalize it. Don't criticize it. We got all sorts of stuff on today's show. It is Irie Wednesday today, so we'll try to keep things a little bit Irie. Brian the Red will be bringing us some Irie Wednesday reggae music for us at 20 after the hour. But before we get to the Irie stuff, all sorts of news, headlines, reactions that we've got to get to. First of all, in our 420 radio news today, Maryland is set to become the 19th medical marijuana state. That will happen tomorrow. We will have our 19th. Medical marijuana state. Governor Martin O'Malley will sign tomorrow. A poll on young Christians and marijuana views. Some sheriffs in Maine don't like the idea of legalization. Another fighter from the UFC suspended for marijuana. And an interesting story out of Idaho from the man who shot at the White House. We'll give you that in the news coming up in just a second. Also on today's show, it's Wednesday, so we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis Q&A segment. You can ask your live cannabis culture, science, history, and health questions from one of America's leading researchers on the subject. He lectures all over the country. He's written a number of books on the issue. So if you've got a question about marijuana, this is the place to get it answered today on our live phone line, 971-533-7111. Also on today's show, we're going to take a look at some of the fallout and reaction to the case of Lindsey Reinhart, my friend in Idaho. On Monday, we had a press conference for her on the steps of the Boise Capitol. That has garnered news attention from as far away as Russia and the United Kingdom. We've also got all sorts of local news stories on this. I'm going to give you kind of the recap of those, plus how we forced the Boise Police Department into a cover-their-ass scenario. And how Project Sam and those folks out of Colorado are jumping at the opportunity to paint marijuana as a danger to kids and smearing the name of Lindsey Reinhart and Sarah Caldwell to do so. We're not going to let it stand. All that and more is coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for being a part of it. Thanks for supporting us. Go to 420radio.org, look for the Support Us link, and contribute today.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, May 1st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Maryland to become the 19th state legalizing medical marijuana, from CBS Baltimore. Maryland will become the 19th state to approve a medical marijuana program, but it's unclear when one will be up and running. Governor Martin O'Malley's spokeswoman, Rachel Guillory, confirmed Wednesday that the governor will sign the measure. That will happen at a bill signing ceremony Thursday, along with dozens of other measures, including a repeal of the death penalty. The medical marijuana bill allows academic medical research centers to establish programs to dispense marijuana to sick patients. While state analysts have projected a program would not be up and running until 2016, supporters say they are hopeful some research centers will move faster now that they have seen how the program will work. A majority of young Christians in the United States support legalizing marijuana, poll finds. This from Reason.com. A majority of young Christians support legalizing marijuana, according to a poll released last week by the Public Religion Research Institute. In keeping with other polls, their parents and grandparents don't. While 50% of young Christians aged 18 to 29 support legalizing marijuana, only 45% of Christian adults and 22% of Christian seniors feel the same way. These numbers pretty much mirror non-religious polls. Respondents' concerns about marijuana don't seem to be theological or even moral. Across all polled denominations, 62% did not think marijuana use was prohibited by scripture, 60% did not believe that liberalizing marijuana laws was a sign of moral decline in America, and 70% do not believe marijuana is a sin. Four Maine sheriffs oppose marijuana legalization, from WCSH6.com. Four Maine sheriffs are joining community health providers to stand against marijuana legalization efforts. The Kennebec Journal reports that sheriffs said marijuana is a gateway drug that leads to abuse of other substances. One sheriff says many inmates at his jail on drug charges got their start with marijuana. Bruce Campbell, program director at Wellspring Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services in Bangor, says marijuana use costs Maine almost $1.3 billion annually for health care, social services, criminal justice, and loss of productivity. UFC's Robbie Peralta, suspended for marijuana, must undergo treatment, from MMAJunkie.com. The UFC confirmed Tuesday night that featherweight Robbie Peralta was flagged for marijuana metabolites and suspended following the event, which took place April 6th at Ericsson Globe Arena in Stockholm. Peralta, 16-4 in mixed martial arts and 2-1 in the UFC, dropped a unanimous decision to Akira Korasani, 11-3 in the MMA and 2-0 in the UFC, on the event's main card, which aired on Fuel TV. Peralta is suspended 6 months retroactive to the event. Additionally, he has agreed to attend drug rehabilitation classes and will be required to pass a drug test prior to his reinstatement, according to the statement. The negative drug test will be reported to the Association of Boxing Commissions. Peralta's loss snapped a 3-year, 9-fight win streak he earned on the regional circuit and in the UFC. Oscar Ramiro Ortega Hernandez upset over marijuana policy, prosecutors say, from WJLA.com. A new court document says that an Idaho man charged with attempting to assassinate President Barack Obama by shooting at the White House practiced with his weapon for 6 months and may have been upset about the country's marijuana policy. Oscar Ramiro Ortega Hernandez is currently awaiting trial for the 2011 shooting, which didn't injure anyone, but left more than 5 bullet marks on the executive mansion. A court document prosecutors filed Tuesday adds additional detail about the shooting, which took place while the president and first lady were away from the home. Prosecutors say they will offer evidence to show that Ortega Hernandez's motive in shooting at the White House was to kill the president. They say Ortega Hernandez believed Obama was oppressing citizens in various ways, including by continuing to criminalize marijuana. No word on Ortega Hernandez's beliefs on Gitmo, immigration, drones, NDAA, warrantless wiretapping, or other ways citizens might be oppressed. My own commentary. And that's your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, May 1st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. You're listening to 420 Radio News on The Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back. .org is listener-supported cannabis community radio, and while we value every $4.20 donation that comes in monthly from our members, we take this moment to offer an extra special thanks to our most generous donors, who have provided over $1,000 worth of support to 420radio.org. For their privacy's sake, we'll identify these knights and dames of the smoky table as Sir Randy of the Lakes, Dame Kathleen the Beneficent, Dame Kaylee the Wise, Sir Travis of Stumptown, Sir Rolajay of Cush, and others who wish to remain anonymous. Thank you, Lords.
Since medical marijuana became legal in Colorado, Marisol Therapeutics has been one of the most successful dispensaries in the state. Caring for thousands of patients, Marisol produces terrific medicine in their greenhouses and in their outdoor gardens. Here's Michael Stettler, the director of Marisol Therapeutics.
This is our grow. We handle probably over 1,500 patients. We're licensed by the state of Colorado, and we try to do things the proper way. Different patients need different strains for different ailments. It's really hard for us to grow this medicine and have the federal government say this and people out there in the everyday life not understand what this medicine's about.
God wouldn't give us an herb like this for it to be the devil's plant, what they say, and that's wrong.
This is an angel's plant. This is does good for human beings. It's never killed nobody in its entire existence. It's time that we quit witch hunting this plant, and you know, we take it into our knowledge and do good like the fathers did, bless this plant and let that plant teach us.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 14 after the hour and time for us to go behind the headlines. And I got this story that came across the pond from Hartlepool. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. There's probably a proper British pronunciation, but Hartlepool, UK judge who rejected the claims of a man who said he smoked 40 joints a day after his collection of plants was sniffed out by the police. The man's 28 years old. His name's John. And the police found 21 cannabis plants at his flat, his apartment, right? So he claimed he could smoke up to a half an ounce of skunk cannabis a day. And then they say, the court says, between, or the report here says, between 40 and 70 joints after taking up the drug when he was just 14. So he's 28. He's been smoking half his life. All right. The first problem I have with a story like this, I hate it when they tell a story and they ask someone, well, how much weed do you smoke? And the guy says, well, up to a half ounce. And they go, ah, well, that's 40 joints. They always want to break it down to the small number there, to the small unit, so they can say 40 joints to make it seem like it was an outrageous amount of cannabis to be smoked. But if you're smoking bongs, if you're smoking out of bowls, if you're vaporizing marijuana, you're putting in bowl after bowl after bowl, and it may turn out to be a half ounce by the end of the day. It's very possible. I know people that use at that level, that it is their personal use. So my problem with the story is how they always want to convert this into some sort of international joint, right? Now, if we get out the old calculator here, and we put in the fact that an ounce of marijuana, well, that's 28 grams, right? So if he says he smokes a half ounce a day, well, that's 14 grams. And they're saying that's going to make 40 joints. That's joints that would be 0.35 of a gram. Those are pinners, folks. Those are little tiny joints. This is the same sort of unit that they try to use at the FDA when they say that a joint is 0.4 grams. Folks, the types of joints that people are smoking these days, it can range anywhere from 0.75 to one whole gram per joint. We're talking about long old 1 1/4s and big bombers and blunts that people are rolling. This 0.35, you know, third of a gram joint measurement is just used to inflate the numbers and to scare the people that are reading the story. Now, as they continue, here's how this story went down. And it's a reminder for anyone who lives in shared housing, you know, if you're in an apartment complex, duplexes, anything like that. And that is the crime that could be taking place or disturbance that could be taking place near you could end up being the reason that gets you busted. In this story, the police uncovered the growth in Hartlepool after they'd been called to a domestic incident nearby. So somebody else in a flat down the hallway might have been beating up on their spouse. That brings the cops. They do a little sniffing, and they can tell that there's marijuana somewhere. So that's what it says right here. They smelled cannabis and investigated. So the officers went inside. They found a cannabis grow upstairs. There was 21 plants and 2 suspected mother plants, which could provide cuttings for more plants. There were lightings and fans and compost and so forth. Plants were several weeks away from being harvested. When the judge asked about the case, the man said that he would have given some to his friends, but he would not have wanted any money. When asked how much cannabis he smoked per day, he said, as much as I could get a hold of, 1/4 of an ounce on a bad day, 1/2 ounce on a good day, and denies that he would have sold any. The judge accepted the plants were not for commercial supply, but found his claim that he smoked 1/2 ounce a day unacceptable. Also rejected his claim that he would not have grown more plants since he had a mother plant and a substantial setup. So he will be sentenced soon. And, you know, these kind of cases, you know, people getting busted for having plants in their home, the smell gives them away. And it's always telling when you hear the reports and you hear the court cases of how cooperative and how friendly and easygoing the cannabis defendant is. Admitting that he was growing plants, admitting that he had cannabis, even admitting that he would share with friends, but really wouldn't take any money for it. And that seems outrageous to the judge, and that seems unbelievable to the public sometimes. But let me tell you, as somebody who's been in this cannabis community for 22 years, going on 23 years now, this is common in our world. We don't think of marijuana as a monetary supply. When you get into a certain level here in the cannabis community, it's almost immoral to want to profit off of it. You want to give it away. You want, at least at the friend level, you want to share with your friends. You don't want to be the kind of guy that's, oh, well, you owe me $5 for that bud. We're not those kind of people. And sure, there might be a commercial level to it where you're selling to acquaintances or you're selling to, you know, the general market out there. But for a guy to say he smokes a 1/2 ounce a day and likes to give some to his friends, that's perfectly reasonable. And soon enough, we'll have this legal enough that people will know the truth and they'll know how people actually use cannabis. And pardon me for the lack of voice here, but I'm still fighting off this cold. I'm just to the end of it, but We're coming back next. Brian the Red's got some reggae for us from the Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
Fun, fun, fun.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long. Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night. Right here on RadicalRuss.com.
Funky. Delicious.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
Well, Wednesday couldn't come here soon enough for me because my blood pressure's been risen over the past 5-6 days. Time to get Irie and turn things over to Brian the Red, who's got our Red Eyes Reggae Flashback for us.
Yeah, so we got a new episode coming up tonight, episode number 28, and we got our Daily Toker tune from last week's show. This is Don Carlos doing I Love Ja.
Yes, I love Ja, Ja. Yes, I love him. Ooh. I love Cha Cha. Yes, I love him. I'll give thanks and praises to Cha every day. I'll give thanks and praises to him in every way. Cause he give me the moon and the star, the sun, the rainy day. Even the birds that sing with sweet refrain. Yes, I love Cha Cha. Yes, I love him. Yes, I love Cha Cha. Yes, I love him. He even put me sitting on an iron tree. That's why I love Cha Cha. Yes, I love him. Yes, I love Cha Cha. Yes, I love him. I'll give thanks and praises to Cha every day. I'll give thanks and praises to him in every way. Cause he give me the moon and the star, the sun of any day.
even the birds that sing with sweet refrain. Yes, I love Jaja, yes, I love him. Yes, I love Jaja, yes, I love him.
My girlfriend thinks that I smoke too much pot, which is crazy because I think, on the other hand, that I don't smoke enough pot, because if I did, I would be finished, and I'm not. Look. We all have our vices in life, you know? I like to smoke a little weed. She likes to feed the baby. Different strokes for different folks, I say, huh? I'm like, look, get off my back. Isn't that your baby crying? Sorry, our baby. Blow a little weed on it, it'll sleep. Don't hiss, I'm just kidding. Like, I really have a girlfriend.
Who would you rather your kids talk to about drugs? You? Or some guy? When your kids find out you've been lying to them about marijuana, who will they trust? Let's have a rational discussion about drug reform. Let's tax and regulate marijuana, restrict youth access, and create safer communities.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the top middle of the week, and that means we get to speak with Dr. Mitch. How you doing, Doctor? Oh, there. I have to hit the mute button. There we go. Dr. Mitch, are you there?
Having a great day.
Oh, something's really weird going on with my computer here. Anyway, glad to have you here on the show. And we always like to open up here, give people in the chat room a chance to get their questions ready up on the chat. And while they're readying their questions, Dr. Mitch will open up with what's new in cannabis science.
Well, I just wanted to say last week we had that question about menopause.
Yeah.
And I'm looking into that right now, and some of the related hormones have been studied in primates, but I can't find any actual publications on this. So we may be on to something for further research.
All right. So we can get the applications going here anytime soon?
I can only hope.
All right. Anything new as far as any cannabis studies or polls that you've seen recently?
So in the published work right now, we have some kind of strange things, but I'm not at liberty to discuss this because I'm reviewing it. I apologize for there's some interesting things that should be out next month. I'm sorry to tease everybody.
That's okay. That's okay. We're always looking forward to new research. I did a report in the news today that Reason.com had covered polling on religious folks. It was a religious public policy poll, and they were finding that the young folks, young Christians between 18 and 29, a majority of them now support legalization of marijuana. And amongst all demographics and all denominations, they didn't seem to have any scriptural or moral problems with the issues of marijuana. And I'm wondering if you've seen that in your research and how religion might impact our efforts to legalize marijuana.
Well, so Rabbi Elliot Dorf wrote a chapter on this in my book, Pot Politics, and clearly stated that the evidence is consistent with the idea of medical cannabis. So there are a number of at least Old Testament scriptures that are consistent with the idea that we have to do everything we can to help the sick, mm-hmm. and that he walks through some of the pros and cons on that and the details, and seems to think that that would include, of course, making medical cannabis available. And then some other folks from various interfaith drug policy initiatives have suggested some of the same things. So I do feel like this is consistent with a lot of reads on that. My acquaintances who are in the Jehovah's Witnesses seem to see this as a question about harm, but they seem to misunderstand the literature on cannabis-induced harm. So they know that apparently the body is not theirs, it belongs to the deity, and they're only borrowing it, and so therefore they have to sort of take care of it while it's in their care. But these are folks who, you know, see the harms induced by cannabis in ways that are inconsistent with the data.
Historically speaking, when we look at the influence of religion in our culture, I can think back to, you know, the temperance movements, and they seem to have been born of a kind of a Christian evangelical that second awakening that the country had in the 1800s toward Christian religion. And I'm just wondering, can you trace, is there a way of tracing where drug use became a moral issue to the early, you know, religious, how that's evolved into becoming a kind of a religious or moral or cultural taboo? I can picture it with alcohol and the temperance movement, but how quickly did religion begin to, fight against drug use?
This is curious because it's taken a number of tacks, and unfortunately it always ends up, at least in Judeo-Christian societies, with Noah's drunkenness. So we're talking literally, you know, Old Testament tales here that go back, you know, we're talking 7, 8, 9 generations from Adam. I mean, we're really not too far along here when we see some negative consequences related to the consumption of a substance, and then that kind of generalized from there. People claim to see this as consistent with other aspects of their religion that support for family values and things along those lines. But again, I think it's often a misunderstanding of the cannabis literature to lump that in with, say, heroin addiction.
Do we have evidence? I mean, I've heard it in marijuana circles before of cannabis being used as a medicinal herb in biblical times. Do we have evidence of that or anything to back that up?
There are certainly some things that are consistent with cannabis being around in other areas, but not necessarily the areas of the Middle East where we think of when we think of where the Bible was written or where those tales are told. But not far from there in Africa, we certainly have some data on cannabis use within, say, 300 A.D. or so. So that would be at least close and consistent with the idea. And then in the Asian countries, clearly medical cannabis use goes way before the birth of Christ or anything consistent with the idea of Christianity.
What of the claims of, specifically the anointing oil used by Hebrew priests? And there seems to be some question as to the translation of cannabosum or fragrant cane. What can you tell us about that?
Well, so it's curious that cannabosum thing has been likened to cannabis in part because of the similar sounds in that first syllable. Hebrew scholars who I've talked to, both Christian and Jewish, suggest that this really just doesn't seem to fit well with other things they know about the era and the notion of cane at the time, too. So it's probably more likely, or at least equally likely, that this was just some kind of other stalk. But I'm hard-pressed to really point at evidence going either way. I certainly understand the idea that hemp seeds create a really nutritious and helpful oil. It just didn't seem to be discussed a whole lot in that same Middle Eastern area in that same era.
All right. Let's get to some questions from our chat room. Medi Grove, Vermont would like to know, how long after the cessation of cannabis use would someone's glaucoma progress?
It's sad, but at least if Bob Randall's any typical case, we actually see within a few hours the pressures building inside the eye after basically the last inhalation of cannabis. So he actually had to use multiple times in the day and sometimes even first thing in the morning simply because the duration of that cannabis effect was so brief that in part inspired the development of cannasol, those cannabis-based eye drops that are available in the Caribbean and places like that, and some of the other eye drop approaches, although they don't work for everybody, seem to have an advantage in that their duration is longer, so you don't have to administer them as often.
Okay, Dreamweaver has a question. Are there any animals that do not have an endocannabinoid system?
Ooh. Certainly everything from the sea urchin up would have at least a CB1 set of receptors. And I'm not sure about the CB2s, but I'm happy to look into that.
So you really can get your iguana stoned?
Oh, it's sad but true. I don't know how disparate their behavior would be.
How can you tell?
And they respond to the anti-inflammatory effects as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is interesting. It kind of, dovetails into a story that I covered either yesterday or the day before about some vet doctors, veterinarian doctors who want to do studies of using cannabis for dogs as they get into older age and dealing with, some have hip dysplasia and arthritis and pain, and being able to come up with some sort of veterinary version of cannabis medicine.
It makes perfect sense. O'Shaughnessy, back in the 1800s, actually did some of his initial tests on dogs, and we certainly share a lot in common as far as both the CB1 and CB2 systems are concerned. That seems like they could certainly benefit from both the analgesic effects and some of the anti-inflammatory effects that accompany some of these aging-related disorders.
Yeah, and anybody who's had to deal with a dog as it's getting older, you want to make sure their last few weeks are as pain-free as they possibly can. Before the vets have the chance to be able to study this and come up with the official, pay through the nose pill that you might get for your dog, are there any home remedy ways that people could give cannabis to their pets in a safe manner?
I'm not up on that literature for sure, but I do feel like the key would be keeping dosage incredibly small and really monitoring the impact very, very closely and over a long duration before you raised any of the dosage. Obviously, an inhaled vapor would have a more rapid impact and something that you could keep the dosage down on, whereas trying to get this orally ingested might run into problems and have a duration that's long and aversive.
I just have to make a note that our in our chat room, we have two, you know, MediGrow brought up the glaucoma question, and we have Lively Libra as well. Both are glaucoma patients, and they said, oh, no, we have to smoke all the time to get relief from our glaucoma. What a shame. Are you okay with that? All right. So between the glaucoma and the hot flashes, we'll have plenty of studies here that are generated from our chat room at 420 Radio. Okay, so as we're wrapping up, I want to remind folks that if you didn't get a chance to get your question in here with Dr. Mitch, or you're watching on a replay, or maybe you just want to keep it private, you can always send an email directly to Dr. Mitch Earlywine at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. Or you can visit our website at 420radio.org. Look for the contact link, and there'll be a drop-down choice for Ask Dr. Mitch. We'll collect your questions, and you can keep them anonymous if you like, keep them private if you like, or if you want to share with the rest of the community, if you're thinking of it, probably six or seven other people are thinking of it as well. All right, before we go, I want to give Dr. Mitch a chance to give us the last word here as far as, you know, we're moving into the weekend. We've got the Global Cannabis March taking place. Is there anything happening for you up there near Albany?
Well, as it turns out, this is our big chance to write to Governor Cuomo, because New York State Assembly will soon be voting on a medical marijuana bill here. And so I encourage anybody in New York State to write their state reps. And that's pretty much what's going to be going on between now and the next week or so. So I'd love to have folks chime in on that one.
All right. Get involved. Write to the state representatives. I'm sure at normal.org there is a take action center there. They're going to have a link for whatever state you're in. Plug in your zip code. They'll take it. They'll make it very, very easy for you. And don't forget, Dr. Mitch Earlywine is a member of the Normal Board of Directors, and they're fighting here to make sure we're all educated and dedicated to get it regulated, legislated, and legalized. Dr. Mitch Earlywine, thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have more of the reaction, worldwide reaction, to the case of Lindsey Reinhart, the multiple sclerosis patient in Idaho, whose children were taken away because, you know, cannabis in the house. Why, that's an imminent danger. Not a gun, not a case of whiskey, but cannabis. Be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they...
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And
and you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, as you know, I've been covering the case of my friend Lindsay Reinhart out in Idaho, in Boise. She is basically the face of medical marijuana activism for the state. And I feel a bit of responsibility because I kind of counseled and, recruited her into the mission, so to speak. I mean, between her and Sarah Frank and Isaiah Valdez, you know, I'm originally from Boise, Idaho, and I moved out 10 years ago because, well, you can. I didn't want to live under that kind of oppression, and I wasn't as brave as these people. Or also, I didn't, you know, well, it, regardless, they're there fighting, and I feel a responsibility to help them out any way I can. And the reaction to this case has been astounding for me because really, in Idaho, marijuana reform is just not something you talk about. It's not something that's on the news. It's not something that's regularly a part of the letters to the editor. But this week, it's just been going nuts there in the state. And I wanted to recall some of this stuff for you. First of all, it was picked up in the Boise Idaho Statesman. That's the daily newspaper. And the Boise Weekly, which is the alternative weekly paper. Both of the online versions of those have comment section. The Statesman's comment section has now generated over 200 comments on the story. I'll admit a dozen or so are mine. The story was also picked up in the Nampa, Idaho Press Tribune, which is Nampa's in Canyon County, which is to the west of Ada County, which is Boise, and a far more conservative area than even Boise picked it up. And as far as the worldwide media, this has gotten picked up by the Daily Mail in the United Kingdom, and Russia Today did a feature on it. Tom Hartman, as a matter of fact, picked it up on his program. There's also been TV news reporting on this from Spokane, Washington, KREM in Spokane, and their newspaper, the Spokesman Review, covered the story. Also, the Tribune in Twin Falls, I believe is the name of the paper there, covered the story. And then as far as the local news media in Boise, the CBS affiliate KBOI ran a story, and the NBC affiliate KTVB ran the initial story, and they covered our press conference on Monday. And it's KTVB we're going to focus on in this little rant because, well, first of all, they're the number one station there and have been, God, since I was a kid. They got the most money. They're part of the same Belo corporation that owns the King in Seattle, KGW out here in Portland. They got the Anchorage station. I mean, they're a major media conglomerate. Now, before we get to KTVB, though, I just want to let you know that Idaho, despite being, you know, a very red state, you know, listed usually in like the top five of red states, is actually quite supportive of medical marijuana, as is most of the country. And it's really not as red as you might think. The most recent 2011 Boise State University public policy poll found that for the first time, more Idahoans identify as independents than as Republicans. And this is pretty shocking news from a state that generally has a 92 or 95% Republican legislature. Okay. More are identifying now as independent than Republican. And still it's about 20% that identify as Democrats. So it is quite a red state, but the shift is happening. This poll also asked, quote, "Do you support changing Idaho law to allow terminally and seriously ill patients to use and purchase marijuana for medical purposes?" End quote. 74% of all Idahoans agree with that, that people like Lindsay Reinhart should be left alone to treat her multiple sclerosis with cannabis. So, when you go and decide to raid and terrorize the state's most visible medical marijuana activists, contrary to the will of 3 out of 4 people, you need to mount a public relations offensive. The Boise Police Department followed up on our press conference by releasing a statement on their website to explain that, quote, "Detectives made the decision to contact Idaho health and welfare officials and place the children in imminent danger." Yes, that's the actual quote from their piece. I think they meant to take the children out of imminent danger, but give the Boise police spokeswoman Lynn Hightower a break. She can't proofread all her press reviews accurately. She only rose to the level of Boise, Idaho teleprompter reader on the last rated local station. So, you know, cut her some slack. But most telling in this Boise Police Department release of information was in this little bit of cover your ass that's at the end. Typically, investigation on cases that remain under investigation is not released by the Boise Police Department. However, the suspects in this case have chosen to identify themselves, and the department believes it is in the public interest to clarify that evidence in a criminal investigation led officers to the Malad Street home. In the public interest, huh? Not in the interest of covering your ass. In the public interest. Because they chose to identify themselves and speak to the public because they wouldn't let you keep it a secret and do all this behind the closed doors of Child Protective Services. It's in the public interest to clarify that evidence led to this investigation. Because if the public didn't think evidence from a criminal investigation caused officers to threaten the babysitter and invade the home, why, they might think the cops were targeting the most effective advocate for medical marijuana in the state for political reasons. Or they might question why a woman with multiple sclerosis who has admitted on local television numerous times that she uses cannabis to treat her condition only now suddenly became a danger to her kids. Or maybe they might wonder how it is that marijuana is such an imminent danger to the kids that the kid at the elementary school who ate it was never rushed to the hospital, 911 was never called, and it was a situation the school nurse could handle. And maybe people might ask, how is it that you find one kid who supposedly ate marijuana and then you immediately traced it to the home of the state's highest profile marijuana activist based on, quote, talking to witnesses, end quote, that were presumably age 11 and under. You know, since kids are never known to lie when they steal their own parents' or siblings' marijuana by pointing the finger at someone else. And who better to blame than the kid whose mom is on the news trying to legalize medical marijuana? That way, police don't have to investigate any other leads because they know finding pot at her home is like shooting fish in a barrel. And I wonder if the public didn't know that it was evidence that led to stealing the kids from the home and terrorizing them. If they didn't realize that, they might wonder if, quote, drugs located in an area that appeared to be commonly used by the children in the residence, end quote, might someday include the OxyContin in their medicine cabinet, the beer in their fridge, the tequila in their kitchen, the cigarettes in their purse, or the Viagra in the nightstand. Maybe they'll wonder if their kids can be taken into, quote, protective custody of the state until it can be determined if they are in a safe environment, end quote, if someday the kids swiped any of those drugs and took them to school. What if cops decide something they do without a second thought, like maybe keeping a loaded gun in the house or cleaning products under the sink or uncapped electrical outlets on the walls or pesticides stored in the garage is presenting some sort of imminent danger? Apparently, the charm offensive from the Boise police is falling on deaf ears. The Facebook page for the Boise Police Department is plastered with condemnation over the Lindsey Reinhart case. The poll currently up on KTVB's website asking, should Idaho legalize marijuana? Not medical marijuana, mind you, is running 74% in favor of legalization. And perhaps they just can't understand the irony of busting a medical marijuana using multiple sclerosis patient as a danger to her children, while touting an unused prescription drug buyback program to keep pharmaceuticals away from the kids, promoting the comb and race for the cure for breast cancer as long as it's not cannabis, and trumpeting a sting that cited, not arrested or taken custody of their kids, but merely cited, adults who bought kids alcohol for the prom. So now, KTVB has followed up on this story after being contacted by Patrick J. Kennedy of Smart Colorado, better known here as Project SAM, or Smart Approaches to Marijuana, the brainchild of drug czar acolyte Kevin Sabet. Now, what does a former representative from Rhode Island fronting an anti-pot group in Colorado have to do with a story of a multiple sclerosis patient in Boise, Idaho? Well, marijuana. Duh. Just listen to the video here. This is Patrick J. Kennedy, as presented in a video alongside Sarah Caldwell. And remember, Patrick J. Kennedy, Colorado, recreational pot. Idaho, Sarah Caldwell, medical marijuana.
The longest lasting vehicles.
Of course, there would be an ad to distract me before we get to all of this. So enjoy the Toyota leadership sales event at Steve's hometown Toyota. Thank you, Steve, for sponsoring this little video.
A national push to regulate legalized marijuana hits the Northwest as a local woman campaigns for the opposite. A former congressman speaking out about the negative effects of recreational marijuana in Colorado. But a campaign here in Idaho is hoping to legalize the drug for medicinal use. News Channel 7's Karen Zaklak joins us now with both sides of this debate. Karen.
Maggie, it was 6 months ago that Colorado passed a law legalizing marijuana for recreational use. While some are now criticizing its effects, others say it's too early, and more time will show more benefits for the states where it's legal and their citizens.
This isn't the rosy picture that the pro-marijuana people will like to paint. This is a very ugly picture.
Former Congressman Patrick Kennedy is clear in his criticism of the effects of legalized recreational marijuana in Colorado.
Increased access to kids, impact on their brain development, their education levels, and not the revenue windfall that was promised.
Now he's part of a campaign called Smart Colorado that's calling for more restrictions, while a Boise woman is calling for the opposite. Sarah Caldwell with Compassion Idaho wants medical marijuana to become legal in the Gem State. She admits she used it herself in the past when she was sick and says its effects are far from harmful.
I didn't have any way to stop the pain, and it helped me. It helped me be a better mother.
A mother who just last week had her children taken away for 3 days. Caldwell says she was targeted because of her campaign.
We want to stand up for those people and give them the right to choose a safer medicine.
As for Caldwell's children, they have been returned to her. Police are still investigating the case that stems from a child swallowing marijuana at school. Maggie.
As for Compassion in Idaho, it launched a citizens petition several months ago. It hopes to get 55,000 signatures so the issue can go to voters on the November 2014 ballot. And that brings us to our Facebook question of the day. Do you think marijuana should be legalized for medicinal use here in Idaho? You can tell us what you think. That's a very popular question right now on our Today's Morning News Facebook page.
Now, if that's not interesting enough to you, let me give you a little look here at the video. If that little video of Patrick Kennedy looked a little familiar to you, because it certainly did to me, I want to point out the fact that this was Idaho's news channel, KTVB, bringing you coverage that was from a Fox Chicago piece that ran last Friday. Either that or Patrick J. Kennedy was sitting at the same desk in front of the same green screen. So that's what Idaho's News Channel 7 calls new this morning on the day after they have to cover the press conference for Lindsay. I'll put that graphic up on the website. You can check out RadicalRust.com. Interesting. Both sides of the marijuana debate, you know, making marijuana legal in Colorado versus taking a woman's kids away for multiple sclerosis medical use in Idaho. You know, it's the same debate. And it's new this morning, even though Patrick Kennedy said these things last Friday, not in respect or not in context having to do anything with the Idaho story. That's the kind of journalism you get out of KTVB, Idaho's News Channel 7. We'll talk more about that in an hour or two. We'll also take your calls at 971-533-7111. For Ryan the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you
you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.